while I drop this rhyme. See, Jake be getting illy when the sun get dark. He be coming out for heads, but you don't let me stop. There's activities aplenty in the nighttime. All together, try to seem to be the right time. See, kids be getting stuck with jewels or fly gimmicks. Shorty see the action in it, start to mimic. Running to the corner, the dice game is blazing. Looking at the loop, it seems so amazing.
Put
the
sword
down to be exact when Pound, he shakes the stones in his hands, then he lets it down.
Happy Thursday, Randolph Terrence.
He
don't make none.
He threw a trip on the ace, now he's out. I'm Andy Klein.
It is Philippe Schaefer. It's pouring outside. Good Lord.
Three guys on. We're looking at the biblical rain right now.
It's the gay marriage thing. God is mad.
Gay marriage. God is angry.
Angry God. Or he's crying.
I see locusts.
Biblical rain. He yawned and he sighed till 105. Then he finally realized. Hope you guys are feeling good on your Thursday. See the plan on building for the evening. Do the feel out on the dome and said, come on, yo, we leaving. We're feeling good. As he told her to be from Thor's man stand with the blunt in his hand. I think we're going to have a good podcast. Think it's going to be a good one.
I'm dreading the walk to the car.
Yeah, I think I might just stay here. I'm going to tell Dave Coulier to take an Uber. look, man. Rain a little too hard. I might melt.
I'm past the age of proving how tough I am.
Yeah.
I fucking walk here.
That's why I carry an umbrella now.
You fuck?
Oh, stop caring.
Oh, you scared of this?
An umbrella.
You think you're better than me?
Get out of the car.
Yeah.
Get out. Put the umbrella over the car before you get out.
25-year-old me be like, this is nothing, man. This is nothing. I'll go walk around all day in this shit. You scared of getting wet?
I think God's just mad at Bristol Palin.
Well, he's mad at a lot of things. God has had a rough, couple weeks.
Rough week. Had a rough week. His flag is being taken down.
Yeah.
Gays are being allowed to get married. Bristol Palin's running around, and he can't stop any of it. I mean, he's just one god. It's not like he's a lot of gods.
No.
He's not numerous gods. It's not like he can be in many places at once or something like that.
What if he ever gets lonely? He's the only god. No one else understands his troubles, so he can't go talk to anyone, you know? Zeus could go talk to Athena, like, you get me. You know?
You know what I'm going
You know what
through.
It's like. God's all by himself, man. I mean, how long can he talk to Freud, you know?
Ted doing something. Ted is covering something called the New York City Slave Market. He was there being activist Ted. And I guess Mike Yard is a regular on the nightly show?
I don't know. A lot of comics are.
Well, Mike showed up, so...
Yeah, he is, of course. He's like one of the regular.
Look for Ted to be on the nightly show.
Well, no, Ted's been on the nightly show.
Well, he's going to be back on again.
Mike Yard is a...
And Ted just happened to be down there. Mike,
a regular.
Hey, what's happening?
Mike Yard was the first show I ever saw in a comedy club. I went to the Comedy Factory, and I saw Mike Yard.
Yeah.
And there was literally six people in the audience.
Jesus. I can see that.
Six people. Yeah. I went to see it by myself.
They still had a show.
Yep, Thursday night. Thursday night show.
Ridiculous.
Comedy Factory and that...
I worked with Mike in Baltimore at the factory.
McGoobies, right?
Not the factory, McGoobies.
So did I.
We worked together at McGoobies, me and Mike.
I worked with him at the old McGoobies.
I think that was after his wife had died. Yeah.
Oh, really?
After his wife died.
Jared Stern was the feature.
Yeah.
And Damo Hicks was the host.
How did Jared
do
with six people?
There's three people in the front. Ooh. And he was just talking to them the whole time.
Oh, these poor people.
It was like
people.
Three people in the front.
It's just bad for everybody. It's
a couple
bad
in the back corner.
It's bad
corner.
For
yeah.
Jared. It's bad for the audience. It's bad for everybody.
Damo did good.
Yeah.
Real dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, the problem there is all three comics have to talk to the people. And at some point, all the crowd work has been done. Like, everyone knows where everyone's from.
It's just bad for everybody.
What they do, what they're about.
Mike Yard did a good job. He was just sitting there just talking to people. It's basically what it was.
And then you were like, I'm going to do comedy. All right, you went to that show.
Was that what inspired you?
What were my feelings after?
What are you doing?
I follow his website on his Instagram feed.
Oh, an ass Instagram?
It's amazing asses 14, as opposed to the other 14, 13 amazing 13, 12. Asses.
Well, you know, I think they number them because sometimes those things get shut down.
Yeah.
It's like a business that gets shut down. It's reopened with a similar name.
Yeah.
So amazing asses 14 will soon cease.
Will soon cease.
And then you'll have amazing asses 15. There'll be too much nudity or too many terms of service breaches.
Mike used to be married to that girl that was in something trip, road trip.
Remember the movie Road Trip with the college kids? They drive from one down to Austin.
Yeah, I've seen it. Which girl?
The big girl that gave the nerd some.
Oh, yeah.
That was Mike's wife.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. She died?
Yeah. Suddenly.
Suddenly, yeah.
From what?
Being overweight.
Oh, that's
that would be it. Beautiful face, overweight.
Too bad.
Yeah. She died suddenly.
He bring everybody down.
Yeah, you know.
God.
Yeah, man. So, thanks for tuning in. Have a good
Hey, good guys. We'll try harder.
Good
next
weekend,
time.
Guys.
Get some levity on this podcast and lighten things up. We're going to have get Philippe out of here. He's too heavy, man. He's too deep, man. We'll get Elton on here and talk about dicks and cocks and such.
I want to get right into it and jump right into Bristol Palin. Oh, you know what we didn't do?
What did we not
do? Some of the worst lines from Scalia's dissent about the gay marriage?
Well, do we want to parse all those lines out? I don't know. Where's that article?
No, I'm looking at it.
Just who was the other? Who were the other ones? Alito, he dissented,
Alito,
right?
Alito, yeah.
Who was the last one? There's four.
Well, he said that
Roberts. No,
Roberts? He called it this court, the court's next bit of interpreted jiggery pokery, which I believe is something
what is
racist.
That? Jiggery pokery.
It's hilarious.
What is jiggery pokery?
Something racist.
I don't know. I feel like I would have heard it if it was something racist.
Sounds like jigaboo.
I know. That's why I said something racist.
You know what? It's also maybe like an old guy's term. Mm. Like that's how you know how old he is when he's using.
Well, he also said a pure applesauce
as
a declarative injective.
That means he was born in like the '20s, right?
Yeah,
like that was pure applesauce. Ah, so that's a goddamn pure applesauce right there, or hogwash.
Yeah, it's just dumbass reasonings. I love the dissents, though, because it's where you can know exactly where somebody's standing on something.
They're funny.
You got to defend yourself. You got to defend your vote.
No matter how stupid the defense is.
Yeah.
Speaking of defending themselves, how come Bristol Palin can't defend her pussy? What's wrong with
her? Who's the father? I was wondering that.
She was engaged.
This is my theory. I think because the story, we should probably set up the story. Bristol Palin, pregnant. She has a blog. Mm-hmm. I guess people like go to her blog and read her blogs. I don't know why, but she has a blog. She posted about it. She has, you know, she had a kid, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Or more, actually.
That long ago.
She was 17 at the time.
She was pregnant during the 2008 election.
Yeah.
So she had a kid. Her first kid's name was like Trap.
Trip.
Right?
I don't know, something.
A Trip is Sarah's
her brother.
Kid. Trap, I think, is, I don't know. It's
who the fuck?
6-year-old Trip.
No, it is Trip. It is Trip.
6-year-old Trip.
Track.
6 years old.
She has a brother named Track.
Yeah. That's her brother's name.
And so Trip is her child.
Yeah.
With two P's. And that was the one she had when she was pregnant in 2008. And it was this big deal because Sarah Palin's all about family values. And here's her daughter having
not
a
so much family values. That's one thing. Sarah Palin was about abstinence.
Right.
And abstinence should be the preferred.
Right.
Thing that should be taught to children.
That's what Bristol Palin.
That's Sarah Palin is about. Yeah.
So Bristol Palin had like a reality show about, you know, trying to raise a son.
Trying to raise a son.
You know, trying to raise a little Trip. You know, life is a trip.
Life's a trip.
You know, sometimes life will trip you up. Sometimes Trip will trip you up.
Lasted about 45 minutes and then it was taken off.
And then she became a spokesperson for an abstinence group. I guess the Candy Foundation. She became an ambassador for them. It's like a teen pregnancy thing. She's given lectures, speeches on abstinence, like just going around to like I guess religious schools and shit. And then she got pregnant again, and so she posted on her like Tumblr or whatever.
It's God's baby.
Yeah, it might be. She said, "Here we go." Palin, who recent engagement to former Marine and Medal of Honor awardee Dakota Meyer. Ended mysteriously and abruptly, broke the baby news on her personal blog Thursday. I wanted you guys to be the first to know that I am pregnant. Honestly, I've been trying my hardest to keep my chin up on this one. I know this has been and will be a huge disappointment to my family. She doesn't have the glow.
To keep my chin up and my legs closed.
She doesn't have the motherly glow.
Like she only fucked once. It was
I know
an
this
accident.
Has been
like
and
she
will
only
be.
Had sex with him once.
Right. Oh, he was banging out all over the place.
Nailing her every night.
A huge disappointment to my family, to my close friends, and to many of you. But please respect Trips and my privacy during this time. I do not want any lectures,
privacy.
And I do not want any sympathy. Here's why I think she's so sad. I think the father is black.
I think the father was going to leave her, and she's just trying to keep him there.
I think she got knocked up by a black dude. She feels guilty.
I don't think so, because she was engaged to this guy.
Was it? Was it Dakota Meyer? Is that the name of the dude?
That dude's not black.
He's probably
a soldier.
He
probably wanted to leave her. Then she's like, oh, let me keep this dude around.
We'll know soon enough.
They split. She went to some other dude, got pregnant.
Possibly.
That's what I think happened. But whatever the case, I mean, she's all like, she's a sad sack about this. She has talked to people about sex and pregnancy. And granted, this goes against all the talks, literally.
That's why.
Every talk she's given. But she's talked to other people who have gone through
this.
She's
a liar.
Give
the money back.
Come to her for guidance.
She's a liar. I think that's a big part of it. She was 17. A 17-year-old Palin's unplanned teen pregnancy.
But I'm sure she has advised people in these situations who have come up to her and say, Bristol, you know, I wasn't practicing abstinence. I fucked a Marine once and I got pregnant. And she counseled them and it was, hey, God's going to take care of you. And then when it comes to her, she's a sad sack.
Well, she's a piece of shit. That's all it is. And by the way, are you really going to put that out there that this pregnancy is getting you down? That's a good message.
I love how she tried to say, like,
start on a child.
Here's what she says.
The trolls have nothing better to do. Nah, because you're a fucking piece of garbage.
Yeah.
They should come at you.
She says in her blog, at the end of the day, which is always a bad way to start a sentence, at the end of the day, there's nothing I can't do with God by my side, except for maybe use a condom. And I know I am fully capable of handling anything that is put in front of me with dignity and grace. Well, the government can't take that away from you, your dignity. I know this has been and will be a huge disappointment to my family, to my close friends, and to many of you, but please respect trips to my privacy. And it's just my little family always has and always will come first. Trip, this new baby, and I will be fine because
this new baby.
All three of us.
God is merciful.
I don't need no man.
This new baby.
Yeah. Where was this God?
It's just all the reading between the lines shit. You really don't want this kid, do you?
This new thing. This and she probably just gave away Tripp's old clothes.
She's such a cunt.
Buy him again.
She's such a cunt.
She can go on the single mother circuit.
Oh, they do free cycle. They just all give each other shit.
Such a cunt. Oh, God.
She's just a young woman.
Where's the dad at? This is the thing that's killing me.
What dad?
He's a pussy.
Her dad?
Yeah.
What's her dad's name?
Dead motherfucker.
What's that dude? Sarah Palin's.
Sarah Palin's husband.
That's his name.
Boo
That's
thing.
His name.
Todd.
Sarah Palin's
Mr. Sarah.
That's his
Mr.
name.
Sarah Palin.
Todd Palin.
Palin.
Todd
Palin.
Todd. He's
a weak son of a bitch.
Dude, he is right now killing a moose somewhere. He has no time for this shit. She's a 24-year-old woman. She's a grown woman. He can't.
Yeah. I bet him and Sarah Palin aren't together. They're not together. That's just.
No, I think they are. I think he's got to be one of the most henpecked husbands you've ever seen in your life.
She's pretty aggressive.
I'd be willing to bet you that he is one of the most henpecked men. Walk in earth.
He could be a legit dude. He just hates all the attention.
I don't think he could be
a noble. You don't think so? You think he's a piece of garbage?
Nah, just based on Sarah Palin's personality, he's getting ridden like a fucking mule.
Do you think she's pegging him?
I think if she can figure another way to show dominance on him, she is.
She whips him.
if it'll help her establish her dominance, she is. She's drilling him into the ground.
It's just the irony.
She's probably also getting cuckolded. I could see that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
So like Romaine's showing up?
Yeah. I could see that.
I came here about a call, about a thing. Todd's like, get her. He just sits in the corner. I never could.
I could see that.
Romaine. You want a panini, Romaine? You want a moose meat, elk meat panini?
Todd's just in the garage stuffing his moose while he hears noises.
Hey, this Texas pastor says he didn't mean he really set himself aflame.
Right.
When he said he would set himself aflame.
Maybe Todd Palin is just, he's busy making like moose and elk turduckins. He doesn't have time. Bristol's 24 years old.
She's on her own.
You're not the parent anymore.
Well, you should not tell your kids that abstinence is the way. That's the greater thing for me is, when has that worked ever? There's a town in Texas where they told the kids that you all should be abstinent. You all should be abstinent. You all should be abstinent. Chlamydia is burning its way through the high school. Like 1 in 10 kids in this high school have chlamydia.
Right.
Because they fucking told these kids, no, just don't fuck.
But they
didn't tell them anything about condoms or nothing.
Do they have it on their mouth? or on their genitals.
You know, they now have condoms that glow in the dark if you
have chlamydia. Yeah, I saw a kid came up with that. Like,
if you have chlamydia?
That's going to work.
It'll glow in the dark.
They don't use condoms, obviously. That's
yeah, that's the fucking whole point.
Wait, if you have...
It glows in the dark. If you have a condom on, it like turns red if you have chlamydia, yellow if you have like herpes. Like it's a different color for every... Yeah.
And what if you have all of them? Is it just a rainbow?
It's a rainbow.
Is it just fucking
stripes? You're gay.
Yeah, you look gay.
What are you, gay?
No, I have everything.
If it's AIDS, it just starts flashing.
Flashing red. A siren goes off.
Yeah, that
you gotta get kids to wear the condoms first.
Yeah, that bothers me. And then you're running around telling kids to be abstinent. You know, Sarah Palin, that was her big thing, was I believe in abstinence. I'm like, it don't even work in your house. And you want this to be nationwide? Why would you want something that didn't work in your house nationwide? It hasn't worked for your daughter twice.
I'm waiting for the fallout. Like, what's going to happen next? Anything. What's going to happen next for Bristol Palin? What's her move?
Dan Savage put a thing up on his website. Dan Savage, noted gay man.
Gay. Noted rainbow condom.
Thing that I, writer that I like. He put up, see if I can find it. Did I save it? I think I saved it.
It was a thing about how if that was Obama's daughter.
He's right.
Fox News would be all over it.
Oh, man. They wouldn't let it go. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. He's right. You know what? I didn't do it.
Yeah, but see, Barack is a good dad, so.
Well, I think even
apparently.
If.
Apparently.
He's an evolved dad. Yeah. I'll give him that.
Even if Obama's daughter had a kid within a marriage but named it Trip.
Yeah.
why you name your kid Trip? It was some kind of rap name. Like, they'd be all over no matter what. It's you can make that argument for every situation.
Yeah.
Like, if this was Obama or his kids, then. Imagine the uproar with Fox News.
Yeah, if Malia had two kids from two different men.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And referred to one of them as this new baby.
This new baby.
trying to keep my head up about this one, guys.
Yeah.
Trying to be happy about this. This thing.
I'm like, hey, bitch, sadness. You know this shit's going to be on the internet for the rest of your life now.
Sucks.
This kid's going to see this. You know that, right?
She's talking about like she lost a soccer game. Trying to keep my head up.
Maybe she actually legitimately wants to name it this new baby.
Yeah, this new baby.
This new baby.
Spelled B-A-Y-B-E.
Hey, old baby, come over here and hug your new baby.
What a cunt.
She said,
she's a cunt.
She said in 2009.
By the way, Alan Keyes blamed the Charleston Massacre also on gay marriage.
She said in 2009, had an interview with Greta Van Susteren. This is Bristol. She said, I think abstinence is like the, I don't know how to put it, like the main, like everyone should be abstinent or whatever, but it's not realistic at all. So that was her first thing. And then 3 months later, she said, regardless of what I did personally, I just think that abstinence is the only 100% foolproof way to prevent pregnancy.
Well, you're right.
Right.
Regardless of
her statement
what
is correct.
But there are...
The whole point is to not fuck.
There are many nearly foolproof ways. Just a different type of birth control. They're all like 95% or better.
95, 97.
You know?
Pulling 99. Out.
Pulling out is still is you know, what, 70%
probably
or something?
Down in the 70s.
You know, she's going just, she didn't do any of that.
Bristol Palin's a freak.
Yeah.
She is.
Well, she's a freak because her parents are freaks.
She does not like condoms.
You know, if she did.
No, she she loves to fuck.
If she did any of that stuff, if she had birth control or condoms or whatever, you know she would have said that in the blog.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was being safe. I had one of those, IUDs or whatever they're called. Yeah. I did this and did that. She didn't say any of that.
That's nothing. Even without condoms, you can still not get pregnant.
Right.
There's still a way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, pill, IUD, sponge.
Right.
There's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
Furthermore, why are you letting any man run up in
anal.
You sans condom? Why are you doing that?
Because he's a Marine?
They're safe. They're clean. they're clean. That's if we are assuming that it's the Marine. And
well,
not,
look, she
and
was
not
a,
Big Dick Johnson over
she
here.
She was about to marry this guy. So maybe in her mind, you know, people do that. Like, well, we're virtually married, so we'll go ahead and start acting like a married couple. And then, you know, we know someone who just after a breakup found out that they were pregnant.
Yes,
can you find
do.
More? Does,
that,
does this guy,
amazing?
Dakota Meyer, have any statements out?
He's not saying shit. No.
We know someone who is sometimes a part of this podcast.
Someone we're very close to.
So that does happen.
Someone we're very close to.
So that does happen
that
where?
Who ran up in somebody sans condom after a breakup.
Before a breakup.
And ended up now raising a daughter.
It was
raising
before
a daughter,
the breakup.
Raising a daughter right now at this very moment.
It was before the breakup. My point is after the breakup, you find out, oh, shit, I'm pregnant. But you've already ended the relationship. So now you're just a single mother with this new thing. With this new,
and now he's
up,
and now
new
he
baby.
And now he is occasionally on the podcast because he's
Charmer's daughter.
Just no, the thing.
Charmer's a new thing. I got this new thing in the corner. Hey, don't step on the thing when you walk in. Don't step
on the thing. That's right, man. If you're a woman, that shit is out. And it has to be entirely up to you. You have to be the last frontier. It has to be up to you.
That's the interesting
thing. You can't leave that shit up to men.
She didn't abort the baby, Bristol.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. She can't now.
No, she can't now.
Now
no
she
way.
Can say that it
she announced it.
It died or it passed away or something like that in pregnancy. She can do that.
Dead thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money on the public speaking circuit if it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How to deal with a dead thing.
That's how where her mind's going.
It's going to be her lecture.
That's clearly her like, I'm just going to
have somebody punch her in the stomach, I guess, a few times.
This is my family's angle. I'm just going to make some money off it. Yeah. But fuck.
They're such shitty human
Dakota
beings.
Dakota Meyer speaks out after Bristol Palin's. Okay, this is
so has he spoken out?
This is from People magazine.
How old? Yeah, what's the stats on this dude?
I don't know. Bristol Palin's ex-fiance Dakota Meyer has broken. This is from today. Has broken his silence after her unexpected pregnancy announcement on Thursday. Yet still remains mum on the subject.
You should
of possibly
just stayed underground, dude. Shouldn't have said nothing. You didn't have to.
Remains mum on the subject of possibly becoming a father. In a post to his personal Facebook page,
because he doesn't know,
a former U.S. Marine, wrote that the mass media is overshadowing news stories of terrorism and putting on a dog and pony show. Hey, there's bigger stories out there. That whole thing.
Yeah. It's the lamestream media doing it.
Here's his quote. Within the past, he's
right to a degree.
But focusing on bullshit is what got her on Dancing with the Stars.
Exactly.
I mean, she's made a lot of money
he's
on that.
Yeah. It's a false thing to say.
Here's his quote.
The media can do two things at once.
Yeah.
Here's his quote. Within the past 24 hours, there have been 3 terrorist style attacks across the world.
Yeah.
There's been an incident at a U.S. company-owned gas factory in Lyon, France, leaving 1 dead and 2 injured.
That's true.
Another incident in Tunisia with 28 people lost in an assault on a West tourist.
That's true.
Mostly British. And finally, a blast at a Shiite mosque in Kuwait.
That's true.
You know, it was a terrorist attack was what he did to that ass.
The 27-year-old shared a photo of himself with the Post. He's 27. Sitting on a couch in a robe with a smoking pipe balanced in his mouth. Oh, come on, dude. In the image, he's also reading a Marine handbook and holds a sword across his lap. The photo has, quote, still waiting, ... written across the bottom. You want to see the picture?
Yes. So what's he waiting for?
Still waiting.
Is that him?
Yeah.
No, that's him. Oh, my God.
What is he waiting for?
He's in a fucking bathroom.
Maybe he's waiting for the media to cover the real story.
What a douchebag. Do you know how you know all that stuff? Because the media covered it.
Here's
that's
what he said.
That's how you know it all, you fucking idiot. All
Levi ISIS, Johnston Jr. right there.
Yeah. All ISIS/ISIL attacks. This is him again. And all overshadowed by the dog and pony show being put on here domestically by some politicians and mass media. The news that feeds the inquiring mind want to know is inconsequential compared to that which is truly relevant but lost on the back page. I urge you to go beyond what is spoon-fed to you and see what is truly going on out there. Send. And that's what he said.
What a fucking idiot.
That's a Tea Party, virtue tube Tea Party spokesman right there.
Yeah. Fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. He sounds just like a Palin. It's the lamestream media, is it? You fucking douchebag.
You know, in this world that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, with all
like you're associated with probably the number one family that breaks that.
Them or the Kardashians?
Bullshit. I like the Kardashians more than the Palins.
I could see that.
I think Kim Kardashian's a smart business.
They're fucking harmless. That mostly.
They don't do.
Not like this. This bitch is dangerous, Sarah Palin.
I'd like to.
Who knows how many lives this bitch has damaged by telling kids to be abstinent? Who knows how many little girls have gotten pregnant behind this dumb bitch? You know?
I'd like to see. At some point, I want to see someone go the other way and be like, you know, the media's just covering all these fucking bombings around the world. Kim Kardashian bought new earrings. Hello, still waiting. And just. Because that's what people really want. I mean, this guy's, he thinks that people should find importance in what he finds importance in. But they don't. You know, and it kills him. But you know he's checking those websites too whenever there's a juicy story.
Let's give a shout out to all the dudes who are hanging on to women who don't do shit for society. All the famous women who are, all these parasitic dudes who
they make money, man.
Latching on to these powerful women now that don't do shit.
Everybody's talking about this woman that climbed up the flagpole and took the Confederate flag down, Bree Olson.
Who's that?
Speaking of somebody who does something, she's a teacher in Charleston. She just climbed. She climbed the flagpole at the State Department and took the flag down.
It's pretty badass.
There's a padlock on there. I want to know how she got that. How she got that padlock
she's
off?
A
Did
beast.
She carry a bolt cutter? Maybe she must have.
Maybe she's a cat burglar.
Pick the lock? Is she a cat burglar?
Well, why was the flag up? I don't understand. I thought they took it down.
They just leave the flag up there.
Oh, this is not on a government.
No, the one, the state one, the big one. The one that's up all the time.
Yeah.
The one that everybody wants to come down, and they're like, well, we can't take that down. We can't fly it at half mast. We can't do anything because it's locked.
But that's not at the actual.
She climbed the pole and she took it down.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, isn't that illegal, probably?
Yeah, well, she got arrested.
She got arrested.
And they crowdsourced her bail right there on the spot, apparently. I just read that on Twitter.
What's her bail?
I don't know, but they passed a hat basically and collected cash. People were just standing around. They crowdsourced her bail.
What is her name?
Bree Olson.
Bree?
No. New Newsom. Bree Newsom.
Bree Olson is Charlie Sheen's girlfriend.
Bree Newsom.
Bree Newsom? Okay, yeah. Watch Bree Newsom climb a 30-foot flagpole.
Is it on
Do you
video?
Have a video?
Is it on video?
That's what this article says.
Well, let's see the video, because I want to see if they how she got it down. Did she pick the lock? Did she cut it?
I don't know yet. I got to pull it up.
Fuck Bristol Palin, by the way. We're moving on.
Well, don't, because you're going to knock her up and you're going to be stuck.
Oh, that's true.
Don't fuck Bristol. No, you should not fuck
Bristol Palin. She gets some of this dick, not cock. Dick. Some of this dick.
You know, I just, you know, even though I say be abstinent, I love cock. So sometimes you got to get your cock fixed. This is the video of activist Bree Newsom. So she's an oh wait, there's a commercial first. We gotta watch an ad.
Of course.
We gotta watch a fucking ad. Someone's trying to make money off this. Well, yeah. 30-second ad, you can't skip it. The most advanced lens. All right, we'll get through it.
What was Bree? Did you say she was a teacher?
She's a teacher, yeah.
Not for long. She'll get fired, probably.
Somebody will hire her.
She'll go to teach in a private institution.
North. Yeah. Yeah. There'll be plenty of people who will hire her.
Yeah.
What does she teach? Did you say what year? What grade?
I don't know. Home ec. Track.
Confederate history.
She temporarily took the flag down.
She climbed it.
Oh, so this is...
The guards.
That's a weird statement.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay, so she doesn't have to cut the because only the cable is padlocked. The actual flag is
flag
on
is not.
Hooks. You just got to get up to it and unhook it. And then she brought it down. She stood to be arrested.
So this is a very public thing. There's like a lot of people there. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people all standing around. Yeah. Well, that's That's civil disobedience.
Yeah, you gotta wait until
in the name of Jesus, this flag has to come down.
You know?
That's civil disobedience. Well, that's when you do it.
You gotta wait till the heat dies down. You don't want to get caught. Like 2 weeks ago, she could have done it. No one would have said shit.
Civil disobedience. Why'd she have a helmet on?
Because she's
dangerous. She's 50
she's not
feet
a superhero.
Why'd
she have a helmet on?
She's taking care of herself. She probably
let them dreads flow in the wind.
She has kids to teach. She has to be at school in the fall.
Yeah, I thought that she had to bolt cut stuff, but I see it's just on hooks.
You want her parkouring up the pole like nothing?
Yeah,
like
man.
She just runs up there and rips it down.
Runs up there.
Does a backflip.
Does a backflip and just runs off. Just cloud of smoke disappears.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Maybe she can just rip the pole out of the ground and pole vault over the building.
That
and
would be
that
fantastic.
Way. See?
She is a black woman.
Yeah,
they are stronger.
Oh, was she black? I didn't see.
She's
I
black.
I didn't see that.
Black girl.
She really fucked that up. She could have done a lot better with that.
Yeah. She came down, put her hands up to be arrested, and then they had a black cop put it back up, I'm sure. Leroy, put this back up, please.
Shit. Nope, no problem.
You can't take my dignity.
They just call him Dignity. Hey, Dignity, come here. Come here, Dignity.
That might be his name.
Shut up, Dignity. Let me talk to you for a second.
Come here for a second. Listen.
Put that flag up, Dignity.
When did you put that flag up?
I still have
in?
My dignity.
I'm going to call you Dig for short. Now, come here, Dig. Shut the fuck up. Let me talk. Put the goddamn flag up your fire, Dig.
Ridiculous.
And then we didn't get to Ted Nugent last. We're just all over the place today.
Yeah, but Ted Nugent, after I sent you that thing, Ted Nugent wrote a thing. He was thanking Obama for giving whites the right to say nigger.
Yeah.
I have no desire to really give Ted Nugent any. After I sent it, I was like, I don't really have any desire to give any shine to Ted Nugent. It's fucking.
That's going to be the same thing we talked about before.
Yeah, just, but I mean, and he just like, I mean, do we honestly think Ted Nugent's not saying nigger all the time?
He's but they sang it because, you know, he's got black friends.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
He also likes Richard Pryor.
It's his hero.
He says a lot. So, I heard he used to say that word.
You know, he says it a lot. Let's talk about this Detroit EMT who was fired after refusing to help a baby. This is ridiculous.
A little baby?
A thing.
What was the story behind that?
It was Detroit, naturally. I'm sorry, people in Detroit, listeners in Detroit.
There's no one left in Detroit.
Yeah.
It's Thunderdome.
Well, there's one less now because this baby died. The Detroit Fire Commissioner has...
We got a video if you want.
Fired an EMT. Do we? Let's play the video. The story will be set up. Here fired an EMT. She refused to help a baby that she was minutes away from the house.
Okay.
Was she on break?
I already had a bachelor's degree.
Stop with the commercials.
God.
With a master's degree in
online schools. No one respects them. You won't
get a job. These commercials are still just like the commercials, the lawyer commercials that come on in the middle of the day. They're that bad. We will fight for you.
Did you hurt yourself in a fall? Is that why you're home at 2 in the afternoon? Because you can't work?
In a local 4 exclusive investigation, a Detroit EMT fired for refusing to respond to a call of a baby in distress. That baby later died.
And our Sean Lay first broke this story tonight. He tracked down the EMT.
Ms. Thomas, I'd like to get inside, Ms. Thomas.
Oh, first, Anne Marie Thomas closed her garage door on us, dodging our questions.
Can I get your side of this story, please?
Next.
She held the mic down by the bottom
of the
garage.
She almost hit our photographer as she flew down her street. Many think the now former Detroit Fire EMT should face criminal charges for this.
33. How long did they delay?
That's the voice of a Detroit Fire EMS supervisor after learning that EMT Thomas refused to help 8-month-old Anaya Wright Trestle. She wasn't breathing, her mother calling 911 for help. Thomas and her partner were sent, but Thomas wanted to wait for another crew and refused to tend to the baby, fearing that the baby's family would be hostile. A supervisor in a report quoting Thomas, "I'm not about to be on no scene 10 minutes doing CPR.
Come on.
You know how these families get." But EMT Thomas never went to the house, where inside it was just Anaya and her mother. She was performing CPR on her. An investigation finding that Thomas ignored 4 orders to get to that baby.
33-51 still given a 12-minute ETA. Ma'am, you have to make contact with your patient. There's nothing in the comments that state you have a hostile scene. You have to make contact with your patient.
Total response time when that other crew finally arrived, 19 minutes. Anaya died the next day.
My daughter would have been here, and she would have just came around that corner and responded for my crying of help.
And that was our Sean Lay reporting. Right now, no criminal charges have been filed.
Now, how are no criminal charges filed?
That's what
I don't understand.
Why did she think it was a hostile house?
I feel like there's details that are missing that they're not getting.
Does she have a history with this family?
I don't know.
Maybe. Did they have a Confederate flag up?
There's definitely holes. Something's not being covered. Yeah. I mean, she should go to jail.
As far as I'm concerned.
She might. I feel like there's something else there because you
she
don't
should
just
go to jail. You should be criminally charged. First of all, it was dereliction of your job, and your job resulted in the death.
Unless
it was actual hostility. They're going to deny they were hostile, obviously.
Yeah.
But
the guy was saying there's no hostility on the scene. Go.
No hostility reported in the comment for the call.
In the comment, yeah.
This one might know that house.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she's been there before. Maybe she knows the people there. Maybe she just doesn't feel like going to work.
Well, I still say,
She said you never know how those people get.
Yeah, those black people. And since I'm black, I know how those black people get. So I ain't going. Fuck that baby. It's basically what she said. Motherfuck that baby. And now the baby's dead, so she should go to jail. That's what I think. She should go to jail.
911 is a joke. You know, that's what I think.
She should go to jail for a long time.
Yeah, I'd like to hear her. Not that it makes
and,
it justifies
and jail
it.
Is not going to be nice for her.
I would like to hear her side of what happened.
I'll tell you that shit. And women in there ain't going to be nice to her. It's not going to be a good time.
I want to hear her side of what happened there. Like, you know, fuck those people. I want
why?
House,
yeah, man. Why did you say?
Yeah, my ex-wife
those people.
There.
Did you mean that family or those black people? Which one did you mean?
Well, she's black.
She is black, yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Black people don't refer to black people as those people.
Sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
From the other side of the town. Yeah.
Those people.
The bad black people.
Poor black people.
Yeah, they do that.
Hey, why don't you save a baby? I'm not going to save that thing.
She definitely said that. She definitely said that. Philippe, were you ever in a frat? You never did frats, did you?
I did. Well, I wouldn't have been in one. Well, one, I'm not a big partier.
Yeah, that's true.
But ran first 2 years of college. I ran track. I didn't have time to do a.
Now, let's say you had thought about going into a frat, would you have approached the black frats or would you approach a white frat?
It probably would have been a white one. Here's the thing. That's kind of hard to answer just because there's no scenario I would have made it past like the pledging or the rushing. Like there's no way. And apparently the black frats are worse with the stuff
they're
that they
much,
do.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to let
those
anybody
people.
Do that shit to me.
Yeah.
But whoa, would I approach a black? Nah, I'd probably go for a white
those
one.
Those frats.
Yeah. Wow, so you could be the exotic frat brother, get all that tang because
you know what it is.
In the frat.
I think it's black frats are all black people, but the white frats
You're right.
Because
I know
there are black people in white frats.
Yeah, I know a lot of white dudes in black frats.
Yeah,
they're usually like Rex Chapman and John B. and
Was John B. in a black frat?
No, but I'm just saying. Black people who are comfortable being in the hood, basically, will join black frats.
And that's a small part of it, because I don't party like white dudes. So that's part of the reason I'm not in a frat.
Then you belong in a black frat.
Yeah, but I don't think I would do that either. Just the entire
you don't
want to
get through it's the hazing process.
The entire scene is just not for me. I probably wouldn't like black dudes that are in a frat. I don't know.
You'd probably like the Omegas. They're all athletes.
It's just not the
Omegas
entire
are,
thing.
Omegas are all
not...
athletes generally. Kappas are smart dudes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Alphas are smart ones. Kappas are pretty boys.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they all have a thing.
Yeah, but it's just not the entire thing is just not mine.
When you ask, would I
join a white one or a black one? I wouldn't like either. Probably.
Yeah, brand new. I ain't down with no frat because I ain't no Greek. You know.
I just don't like the idea of buying a social life.
Yeah, I mean, I have cousins who are in frats. I have roommates who are in frats. I always was like, you paid to let them beat on you. You paid for that.
Yeah, to get paddled.
I wouldn't.
Get spanked.
I mean, I know people from both black frats and white frats, and some of them are cool, but I just wouldn't. The entire system is a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
It's about brotherhood, man.
Well, that's the weird thing. It's like brotherhood requires initial subjugation.
Yeah.
Why? Why can't we just be cool?
It's the
it's a shared experience that we all go through.
The tribal initiation of going through adversity, but you can like comedians do that. That's why comedians are pretty close with each other because you go through those first years of sucking.
But you
or whatever
have
that is.
To. That's the thing with frats. You don't have.
That's
to.
That's why it's manufactured. That's why it's stupid. You're paying for it, and then they don't have adversity to go through because there was that article recently of the dude that's suing. Is it Penn State?
Yeah, I think so.
Penn State,
yeah, Penn
where
State.
They...
Yeah,
that's what this is about.
I can't remember offhand all the stuff that they did, but it was like...
Here's
just
the
like
article.
Ridiculous stuff. It's manufactured adversity. It's not real.
From the outside, the Kappa Delta Rho fraternity house at Penn State looks idyllic. A stone Tudor-style mansion with a sprawling lot on a quiet off-campus street. But what goes on inside the house has been the subject of intense scrutiny since January when a member, James Vivenzio, 21, informed police of an invitation-only Facebook page where KDR brothers regularly posted nude photos of intoxicated women, sometimes being sexually assaulted. So basically...
That's not...
They had a... I think they had a one Facebook page that got taken down and they put up another one. In May, Penn State rescinded the fraternity's recognition on campus for 3 years, a reversal of the Interfraternity Council's initial ruling, which said KDR could remain as long as members participated in sexual assault intervention training.
Why would you let them be back on your campus? I don't get that.
Because they're going to go through training.
You're fucking done.
No, they did training.
Okay.
They went online and they looked through a slideshow.
Watched a couple of videos online and that was that?
Step one.
Done. You're all off my campus.
Don't drug girls. Step two. Don't take their pictures
naked.
Don't
take pictures naked. Don't drug girls.
It's just going
definitely,
Dr. Phil.
Definitely don't put your cock in them. And I'm saying cock because they're clearly white.
What you're doing is bad.
Yeah.
What you should be doing is good things. In May, Penn State rescinded the fraternity's recognition on campus. On June 4th, the national headquarters of Kappa Delta Rho expelled from the fraternity 38 of the Penn State members involved in the Facebook scandal. And on June 9th, a new chapter of the drama unfolded. Vivenzio filed suit against Penn State and Kappa Delta Rho, as well as the university's Interfraternity Council and Panhellenic Association.
I thought
claiming
that was fat. I thought it said phallic.
Phallic Association.
He has like PTSD, is that what it said in the article?
Claiming the fraternity's intense hazing left him with post-traumatic stress disorder, for which he was hospitalized earlier this year. Other alleged outcomes of the hazing include failing his freshman year despite having been a successful high school student. He might be a little whiny.
He's not
here.
That successful.
The court's documents state Vivenzio's lawyers called him
not to go through all that stuff.
That's easy to it's hard to say how success is measured, but that's easily quantifiable. You just look at his grades and say his grades were good, now they're bad.
But you can't say why. Yeah. A lot of people
that's the point. That's
party
what
too much.
But that's what he would say.
Yeah.
He would be like, this is the why. So, I mean, you say you can't say why, but that's what he's going to say.
But that's his
I'll give him a slight pass. Was he 18? Was he 18 at this time? Give him a slight pass. He doesn't know what he's getting into.
Yeah.
You know.
Vivenzio's lawyers called the fraternity's hazing barbaric and life-threatening, claiming pledges endured cigarette burn to the chest.
I would have knocked somebody out if
they did that to me. I would knock you out. Yeah.
It's not just a reflex
knock
action.
You
know what? They tie you down.
No scenario. Yeah. My roommate in college.
At some point. You have a couple of options. Yeah.
My sophomore year, my roommate in college pledges a frat, and they called him at like 1 a.m. in the morning. They're like, you got to be down at the house. And I was like, not in my lifetime. I'm not coming down there.
Yeah.
No. How about no? What happens if I say no?
That's the end.
You're not our
friend.
You're not my friend anymore.
Well, they have to tie you down and burn you a cigarette.
Burn you a cigarette versus
I suggest you leave me tied to this bed. You should just leave me here. And I don't know what was the next thing you thought was going to happen when you untied me? I was going to get up and just
no, you're bros now. You dap each other up.
Shit.
The next thing was forced consumption of copious amounts of hard alcohol and concoctions of hot sauce, liquor, cat food, and urine during lineups in the frat house basement.
Trust me, that was more than urine. Somebody jerked it into that thing.
Yeah.
Believe that.
Hey, I'm not your friend unless you drink my cum. You want to be my friend?
Believe that.
You want to be my friend? We're friends? We bros? We cool? Hey, next year someone will drink your cum. That's the way it works.
Endless rounds of push-ups and wall sits.
Push-ups and wall sits in the basement.
They should ban the frets.
At one point, pledges were forced to do push-ups on the basement floor, which was covered with garbage, broken glass, bleach, and cigarettes. One pledge who was allergic to bleach had to be given a shot of epinephrine. Two pledges were reportedly branded on the buttocks with hot clothes hangers.
Yeah.
Jesus. And reputedly backing out was not an option. When Vivenzio missed the lineup, a 6'5" brother allegedly punched him in the face and body repeatedly without warning. You did not miss a lineup at Penn State. KDR alumnus who did not overlap with Vivenzio in a fraternity and wishes to remain anonymous tells Yahoo Health, if you missed the lineup, you were kicked out of the pledge class. Well, good.
Yeah.
Look, you're failing out of school, right? You're having post-traumatic stress disorder. And you're worried about you should leave voluntarily. I mean, a lot of pledges don't make it through, right? They're like they get paddled twice, and they're just like, you know what? I'm just gonna not have friends.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Jersey fist pump.
That's what I'm saying. Like these are the kind of dudes I'm not trying to. How does this build character on any level?
Well, it makes you tough, man. They break you down. It's just like in the military. They break you down, and then they build you back up. And we're just like the military.
But the military, you're running and you're doing push-ups and stuff.
You're going to leave this up to, first of all, the military is overseen by
grown men. Same kind of dudes.
These fucking dudes are like 18, 19, 20-year-old boys. Horrible human beings. I keep saying that. Horrible human beings. 18-year-old boy, 19-year-old boy.
Look,
22, 23, horrible human beings. Just
fraternities
horrible.
Are civic organizations that help
community. Help the community.
And also put things in each other's asses.
Some of them do. There are good fraternities. They're not all bad.
You just got to get past the ass stuff.
No,
in the beginning of hazing.
Even I went to Maryland. There are some that are good. There are some that are
It would be primarily physical in the beginning. Push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks with some verbal demeaning. They would just try to beat you down. They would call you gay, say that you would never get laid.
Which is true.
The worst thing you can say to an 18-year-old boy.
Yeah. At first, it would just be a little bit of yelling and push-ups. It would be like bad football practice. But over a period of weeks, sometimes an entire semester, the hazing intensified with the addition of blue chairs, the fraternity's name for wall sits. additional verbal abuse, excessive alcohol intake, and eventually forced consumption of concoctions.
For those who are wondering what a wall sit is, I want you to stand up, find a wall, put your back up to it, put your feet out in front of you, then squat down like you're sitting into a chair.
But there's no chair.
Get to 90 degrees at parallel and just stay like that.
For a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Forced to drink hot sauce, vinegar, milk, and as one of the KDR alums later found out, urine.
I make clients do that sometimes, by the way.
Well, now they're your friends. That's how it works. The ultimate goal was to make you vomit, he says, adding you had to drink milk and vinegar and then go on a 3-mile run and do sprints up a hill. Hazing is a process. It's not like bullying event that happens once. There's a beginning and a middle. Okay, so anyway.
They fuck you up, essentially.
Yeah.
Black frats are just as bad, right?
They beat on you. Yeah.
As just hell week, the final week of pledging approached, the days would get longer, so you were at the house almost 16 to 20 hours per day with a very little sleep. He was once kept awake for 30 straight hours, during which he cleaned the frat house, performed push-ups, and drank more vomit-inducing mixtures. The last day before I got in, you're running on no sleep, getting screamed at, you're delirious. You're up at 4 in the morning doing 50 push-ups. That was probably the worst part, the combination of all that. So they deprive you of sleep. They make you vomit all the time. And I guess at some point you got to go to class, right? You're going to class.
Yeah. And smelling like vomit.
No, I think that was part of it. I think they made him miss class. I think that's part of his grades were bad.
Miss class, brother.
Which they can. I mean, you don't have to go to class. They can make you miss class.
Yeah. I think if you bring their GPA down or some shit like that, it affects the frat standing. I don't know.
I'll get this. The first KDR alum remembers the pledging process less fondly. One weekend. After he made fun of a brother, I had to eat a dozen Oreo cookies covered in syrup, flour, chili powder, and any other condiments and sauces they could find in the kitchen. Each time he vomited, he was forced to do a headstand in the trash can where he puked. That was right before my breaking point.
That was before the breaking point.
Well, if somebody did vomit, like one of my friends did that, like vomited in my apartment, I might have him do something similar.
Do a headstand in the vomit.
Hey, you better fucking lick that up. I had a buddy that happened. I junior year, there was a friend of mine that I went to college with from high school, and he had a problem with drinking and throwing up. And mm-hmm. I was like, if you throw up in my apartment, you're not coming into my apartment ever again. And mm-hmm. there was a situation where he, junior year,
was he came out home, of control wasted, drinker? Or
yeah.
He just,
yeah. Came home. Was sitting on my couch and he started eating his cell phone.
Oh, started he was so eating drunk.
So drunk he like not just kind of nibbling on it, but digging in.
Was
digging
it, in.
Wait, how was did it? He get to your house?
Well, he was with me.
Okay.
And he didn't throw up, but he was digging
what
into
what were y'all his, doing?
Just that drinking. He drank we're just that out. Much. He drank.
Was it the LG chocolate cell phone?
I don't know what no? he so he was just sitting there. I didn't stop him. I was just sitting there just watching him, just shaking my head. I was like, and then the next morning, my roommate came in. He's like, dude, why are there fucking metal shards all over the carpet?
Oh, he really got into it.
You know, yeah. He was eating it.
Oh. So he
this is liquor.
Oh, and I did. I tried to give him some crackers. Like, I wasn't going to get in the way of him. I tried to give him some crackers and put them on the
this is liquor.
On the table.
That didn't work?
Could he speak he coherent words? Or he was just like,
No, if you're going to give him crackers, you got to draw a home button on him.
So, yeah. So he didn't throw up, but he wasn't allowed back in my apartment after that. I was like, I can't.
I was just talking to a gentleman last night, a comedian, who told the story, reminded me of the story of the time a woman that we kind of know wound up at his place with him and like another dude, like after a night of drinking, and she, I guess, crashed on his couch and, in addition, pissed on his couch. Like,
interesting.
Pissed her pants, and she never admitted it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said it was beer. She was like, you got to come over and smell it. It's just beer. They're like, we're not smelling your piss. So what are you going to do? She's denying it. She said she spilled beer, so you just can't have them back in your house again. Right? You have to just kick them out forever.
Yeah, I had a drunk girl pee on my bedroom floor. I do a joke about that. Pee on my bedroom floor.
It's based on true events?
Yeah.
Did she ever come back?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was a good-looking...
Yeah.
Yeah. You can piss anywhere you want.
Good looking and drunk and good bed. So
not my mouth.
Never had a girl pee. I don't think I've ever had that. Throw up? Probably.
You had a girl throw up in the house? Probably. I have had that.
Probably.
I've had both that. Those.
What do you
do? The throw up girl got kicked out immediately.
When someone pisses on your couch.
She wasn't good looking enough.
The couch is just done.
For me to be, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
Flip the thing.
Cushion. That's what, all you can do is flip the cushion.
Flip the cushion.
And just hope no one pisses on that side now, because then you got no choices. You got no. There's no backup
cushions. I spilled beer. Really? All over your crotch like that?
Yeah.
Well, either way, I'm not down with the fraternity thing to make you. Some dudes will be like, well, you pussy, you can't take it. I'm like, nah, I'm just not going to let you do some fucking...
homoerotic.
Some random shit to me.
Yeah.
No, we can do something else.
Yeah. I don't
understand. You can come squat with me and you can punch me. I don't know.
Why schools allow this on their campus. Like, why would Penn State allow them back on the campus? I don't get that. What do they have?
I don't know.
Do they give the schools money?
Donors.
Is that what it is?
They expelled the bad apples. You know, and
I'd be done with the fraternity. The whole fraternity can't be here because all of you knew about it.
I don't know what the reason
is. That's how fraternities work. They all know about it.
They're brothers.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why I'm expelling all of you, because you're brothers and you all knew about it and you chose not to do anything about it. We haven't even got to the shit about the girls as far as the videotaping and raping bitches. We haven't even got to that part.
That's putting weird. Up pictures is on that a sorority? Page. Yeah. Is that a sorority?
Putting the shit
up.
That's the same
frat.
Fraternity.
They weren't raping them. They were just taking naked pictures of them and posting them on this private Facebook page. I bet there's so much porn on Facebook on these private pages. There's all kinds of shit going on. You need an invite only to get in. All kinds of debauchery.
No. Regularly posted nude photos of intoxicated women sometimes being sexually assaulted.
Oh, okay.
You know, the guy puts a mask on.
Are there any comedians who were in fraternities or sorties? I feel like they wouldn't be comedians if they were.
I know guys who've been. I mean, not all hashtag.
I don't know much about this world, so I'm not.
Hashtag not all fraternities.
Not all fraternities put carrot sticks up your ass. A lot of them have like mild hazing. That's why these.
I do know that's true, because I have had friends that are been in them. They're like, no, there wasn't really any hazing.
Yeah,
it wasn't
like that.
They went on a scavenger hunt. That was
carry someone's books for a while. It's like just basic shit.
Yeah,
you know, cook dinner for the frat or something, for the house. But I know people that have been in those frats, and they're like, oh, it was fun. It was good. You know, you go to the new college, you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
You get an instant social life. You don't have to worry about making friends over the course of the year, and it's good. It's good.
Well, I hate almost everybody, so I like to make my own friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I pretty much like that, too.
You're a very hateful person, Philippe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I'd be at 18 and now. Now, I'd be like, oh, motherfucker, please, with this nonsense.
Yeah, I don't
18,
think.
18, now I'd have been. I never even thought about joining a frat, though, when I went, so.
I never went off to college, but I would prefer to not be paddled. You know, if I could,
well, you could ask.
I would prefer, like, paddled. You guys, is there like a
you got a choice
option
like
a, B
another yeah. option? How about I just hang out with you guys?
Can I make you a cake?
Yeah. How about we just have a shared experience that's more organic? Let's play Madden for a while. Yeah. You know, and we can just be cool. How about that? That's how I made all my other friends. We just hung out. They sat next to me in class.
No, I have to rape you in the butt.
To rape you in the butt.
That's how it
first
works.
I have to paddle the butt. Then
but guys,
I have to rape
this is why I joined.
Guys, we just got out of high school where we made friends who may be lifelong friends. Don't you? No, I got it. You don't understand.
Got to do this, man.
No, how I made friends in high school.
Not
we played
my choice.
Football together. No, it's not. That's not real.
It's not real.
You know, like all of my friendships would have been closer if someone just drank my puke. That's all I'm saying. You know, and
so,
now that we're in college, we're adults.
So
we
get
can
to
dictate.
Drinking. Get to drinking.
But guys, we have a lot of good friends already. Without them,
no, they're not real friends.
No, just, you know, look, light your balls on fire. Just do it. I mean, I did it and it worked. And now these guys are my brothers. You know, and I didn't have any brothers growing up to light balls on fire with. Hmm. I don't get it. I would feel further away from someone if they slapped me in the face.
You wouldn't feel closer to them?
No, not at all. I wouldn't be like, look, I got in a fight once when I was in eighth grade, right? This kid, I told the story on the podcast. This kid who I didn't know, he just came over to our lunch table a lot because he knew someone at the lunch table. I used to always make fun of him. And then he was like, we're going to fight. And I was like, all right. And we fought after school. He came to my house. So we were supposed to meet at the end.
Came to your house? What kind of fight is that?
Our neighborhoods bordered each other. We were supposed to meet there at like 5 o'clock.
Oh, rival neighborhood fight?
Yeah.
Did you take your boys with you?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know if the story is up on YouTube, but... I told him, he was like, let's fight right now in the cafeteria. I was like, no, we're not fighting right now. That's stupid. Why would this be over in 10 seconds? I said, I know you live in that neighborhood. I live in this neighborhood. Let's just meet at the entrance to our neighborhoods at 5 o'clock today. All right?
All right.
And then you had then you had the whole rest of the day to prepare your mind.
Well, and all my
get
friends.
Get your mind ready for battle.
Part of me was like, my friends were like, I was like, yeah, just come to my house at like 4:30 because we were all going to go and watch me fight. And, I'm hanging out with one friend who has gotten to my place at like 4. There's a knock on the door. This dude is at the door. I opened the door. I was like, what the fuck? What? And he goes, hey, let's do it. Let's fight. And I look, and like he's got these two older dudes with him who are like kind of leaning on the fence, and like not really by the front door. It turns out his sister's like boyfriend or something, 18-year-old guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, how did you find out where I live? Oh, I asked some of the kids in the neighborhood. All right. And then I literally, I said, well, hold on. I went in and told my one friend who was there with me. I was like, he's fucking here.
Yeah.
Like, what? What's that? And so I called my other friends who were going to be there soon. I was like, hey, he's at my house. You guys want to come down and watch this fight? And then I went and changed out of my school clothes and put on my play clothes.
Did you put your Vaseline on your face?
Very responsible. I just didn't want to mess up my school clothes, though. I didn't put Vaseline on my face. But I went out front. You know, my friends got there, and I beat him up. And he was a terrible fighter. So was I, but I was miles ahead of this guy. And he never even landed a shot on me. But I was just like, you know, hitting him. And his friend,
Andy, get him.
The two dudes who he brought with
him. Get him, Andy.
The two dudes started like making fun of him and shit. they're laughing at it. It was kind of sad. But anyway.
I bet your sister could beat you up, bro.
After the fight, so he leaves. I blackened his eye, like I hit him in the eye, and that was like he was like, "Oh, I'm done." And,
yeah,
like,
you let him know.
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, bitch."
He's gotta walk around school.
Yeah,
with that.
What? So
got that Wrath of Klein on him.
So he leaves.
Hit you in the cock.
He leaves, getting teased the whole way home.
That's hilarious.
And then the next day in school, he comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around. He gives me like this little fist bump, like he kind of gives me a little fist, like. Like, we're bros now? Like, we fought, right? Now we're close friends. I was like,
You ambushed me, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah. Came out. But in his mind, we were bonded.
You're supposed to be friends for life. You know that, right?
Yeah, we were bonded.
You're supposed to be telling the story. It's supposed to be like, and that's why we do a podcast together right now. Because we met, I beat him up, and then we became friends.
And he's like, one of these days, I'm going to get you back. And we laugh about it. Yeah. There's always underlying tension.
Yeah, he was my best man at my wedding.
So like, what's that kid doing now?
It's supposed to be that story.
Working out, probably, lifting weights. You're the reason I got buff. But yeah, he did walk up to me again later that day in school, and there was this long walk up this like this one part of the school was just a long walk to like our lockers, and he was like, "Hey, man," I was like, "What? We've never spoken. I don't know this."
Very confusing.
Hey, where'd you develop such a great left hook?
He say that?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was like, well, first of all, I don't develop anything.
I'm just naturally better than you.
I'm just better than you.
I don't know. And he goes,
skilled.
He said. Because I'm used to fighting my sister, and she's right-handed. And I said, I'm right-handed. Oh. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. I was like, why'd you just tell on yourself?
He based everything on... See, what... he thought based on his sister, he could whoop you. That's what...
Right. That's what he thought.
Based on fighting his sister, which means he thought his sister was tougher than you.
No, I think he just, at that age, you just think, oh, and I got to fight this guy now because he made fun of me. I made fun of him at the lunch table a couple times. And he just thought, I'm sick of this, man. And I had no idea he was sick of it. I thought he was just cool with it. And now he wanted to fight. He was one of the few kids that was smaller than me because I was a small kid. So I was like, well, why is he? He should. I know not to pick fights because I'm tiny. And then he just walks up to me, let's fight right now. No. Well, let's fight later. And then yeah, he has no experience
fighting.
It's
like the dudes that punch the girls on the during recess.
Yeah.
Because
they
like them. He liked you, Andy.
He liked me. Maybe he was looking for a friend.
He was
friend,
gay.
Man.
You know what? I know his name. I should look him up on Facebook.
Wanted to be your friend.
Look him up. See what he's doing. Look up his LinkedIn. Does he have a LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
I don't know. He might be in jail for all I know. Maybe
it's
I scarred
possible.
Him for life. I'm going to look him up right now.
He either might be in jail or he might be like a... He's got that basement with your picture all over it. This is the guy.
Put lipstick on.
This is the guy.
Has a
you
want to
fuck me? You want to fuck me?
Well, if he's on Facebook, we don't have any mutual friends. I know that. There's the first name that comes up with his name. Under the name, it says musician/band. So maybe he
channeled all that into angst.
Toward the arts.
Into angst.
A lot of punk songs.
Angst this next song is named Andy. I want to kill him. Na, 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 na. You made me who I am. Na, 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 na.
And he just starts crying. Yeah, but we bonded. He thought, in his mind, we were like, we're cool, right? Like, he would have dapped me up if that's the thing people did back
hilarious.
Then.
That's hilarious. Hey, Andy Klein, the scourge of your middle school.
We're good, bro? We're good, bro? No, we're not good. Let me light your balls on fire first. That's the only way this is going to work. If you want a friendship, pay me. I'll put things in your ass. Okay, then we're close.
What's our time here?
1 hour.
Mm. Yeah. Let's wrap this up with the pastors who said they were going to set themselves on fire.
Put a nice, little, see.
Nice well, little bow.
Should have joined
a
frat.
A lot of pastors said that they were going to kill themselves over
One in particular.
LOL.
There's one in particular. They keep calling him an ex-pastor.
Yeah.
Is this the reason he's an ex-pastor?
What was Glenn Beck was saying? They're all prepared to...
10,000 dead.
Rick Scarborough, a conservative Christian political advocate who is said to have threatened to set himself on fire if the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, is now merely a pile of smoldering ash. Several media reports outlet.
These folks send in their activists with their lawyers when they find there's a Christian who's principled and not willing to participate in any kind of sanctioning of same-sex marriage, and they sue them until they go into bankruptcy. In fact, the New Mexico Supreme Court, in ruling on the case there, said that participating in the sanction of same-sex marriage was the, quote, price of citizenship in the United States. So we know what's coming, and we're simply being preemptive and saying, no matter what the cost, we understand, and we weigh the cost. We are not going to bow, we're not going to bend, and if necessary, we will burn.
Okay.
All right.
Now, well, he didn't actually say, hey, look, I'm going to fucking
light myself on fire.
He didn't actually say that.
He just said, we will burn.
We will burn, whatever that may be. Now, on the other side, there is a pastor who I actually posted on my Facebook page, a guy who set himself on fire because he wanted to bring light to the fact that...
it was at least a year ago. Right.
He wanted to bring light to. Oh, my battery's almost dead.
It's on your Facebook page.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look it up. I'm tired of looking up that dude.
Oh, your buddy.
My buddy.
Your BFF.
Here he is, a Texas minister set himself on fire.
Died to inspire justice. This was in the Washington Post.
All right, I'm trying to get the story up. Hold on. Yeah, the article is dated July 16, 2014. One Monday in June, 79-year-old Charles Moore, a retired United Methodist minister, drove to Grand Saline, Texas, his childhood hometown, some 70 miles east of Dallas. He pulled into a strip mall parking lot, knelt down on a small piece of foam, and doused himself with gasoline.
This really happened?
Yes.
Yeah, this was last year.
This Washington Post put this up.
Bystanders rushed to help, splashing him with bottled water and beating the blaze with shirts.
Which does nothing. You gotta cover it.
Yeah, you gotta smother it.
Yeah, smother the flames.
They just wanted to beat him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Finally, someone found the fire extinguisher. That's a terrible sentence.
Yeah.
That's an. If anything happens to you, 2 hours
later.
Yeah.
If any incident about your life includes sentence, finally someone found the fire extinguisher.
Finally.
You are fucked. Yeah. Your life is over. Finally, 9 hours later, someone found a fire extinguisher. There's a long line at Walmart. I want to buy one. They wouldn't let me to the front. Unconscious, he was flown to Parkland Hospital in Dallas, where JFK died. Moore died that night, June 23rd. Moore's death seemed a mystery. He put a note in his car and left behind letters explaining his acts, said a former colleague and relative by marriage. His thoughts are now becoming public. The Tyler Morning Telegraph obtained a copy of the suicide note from Grand Saline Police. In it, Moore lamented past racism in Grand Saline. He's a white guy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In Grand Saline and beyond, he called on the community to repent and said he was giving my body to be burned with love in my heart for those who were lynched in his hometown as well as for those who did the lynching, hoping to address lingering racism. In his letters to the Washington Post, he called death an act of protest. He said he felt after a lifetime of fighting for social justice, he needed to do more.
God didn't want that, man. We needed you. We need you in this fight. God don't want that.
He said, I would much prefer to go on living and enjoy my beloved wife and grandchildren and others, but I have come to believe that only my self-immolation will get the attention of anybody.
God don't want that.
Well, he might have been a little bit nuts at that point. I mean, he might have had a screw.
Oh, he was a lot of bit nuts.
Yeah.
God don't want that.
Yeah.
He burned himself alive.
Yeah.
Fucking
Well, he probably,
Tibetan monks do it all the time.
He probably pulled in, because look, he had to choose the strip mall.
You already there a little right? crazy too.
Yeah.
He probably pulled into the strip mall. He probably was like, well, he probably pulled into like Fire Extinguisher Depot, you know.
Yeah, drove right past that. Can't do it
No,
here.
I think he pulled up there and he was like, all right, I'm going to set, so they're going to put me out. My act of protest will work and then I'll be home with my grandkids in a couple days. And then no one knew that there was a fire extinguisher depot 10 feet away.
10 feet away.
Finally, someone found a fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
and he died. So, but he might have been a little bit nuts, or maybe he thought, this won't get to the point of me dying. A lot of people are like, I'm going to make a spectacle and someone will put me out, right? So these people who are threatening to set themselves on fire or to burn.
Yeah.
Over the gay marriage thing. So far, no one has gone through with it, right?
Imagine that. Just like they were like, well, we're going to move to Canada. Really? Where gay marriage is already legal?
Been legal for...
That's like, where you're going?
Yeah.
that's where you're going.
All right, Mexico. All right, fine. We'll move to Mexico.
Have fun. Have fun.
This guy Scarborough, though, said about the burning thing, I made the comment to paraphrase a spiritual song, Shadrach, Meshach, and... Abednego, whatever, in which the three were given a choice to bow to the image of, all right, whatever, or burn in a furnace. We will burn, which means they'll accept any sanctions from the government for resisting today's Supreme Court decision. We do not support any violence or physical harm. So he backed away.
Of course.
He was like, I'm not going to go to some strip mall and actually douse myself with it. What kind of crazy person does that?
It's empty threat.
Yeah.
Empty threat.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't want to see me die, do you? And people are like, well, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you gay
particularly
marriage.
If you burn yourself. That sounds interesting. I'd like to watch that.
This gay marriage passes. You're going to see me die. Like, oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, whatever.
Bye. See you.
Cool,
bye, Felicia.
Buddy.
Yeah, right,
bye,
so.
Bye, Felicia.
No, I'm going to do it, though. You guys don't understand. I'm really going to do
this.
Why
don't you quit talking?
I'm just going to show the gay people what's waiting for them.
And be about it.
I'm just trying to say, like, I'm just, let me, to reiterate.
We'll
to
talk about it.
In
be
summation,
about it.
In
figure, my people's come and be about it.
It was a figure of speech. It was
in
a
some,
metaphor.
I was quoting a song about burning. Burning means resisting
for
the government.
For how angry
but,
I will be.
But I'll totally do it, though. You guys don't even know. Like, I totally would. I wanted to, you know.
It's just my feelings were hurt.
I was out of
matches. Sensitive at the time.
It's hard to find lighters.
Be about
days.
It.
A lot of people don't smoke. I was asking people for lighters. They don't find one, you know. You know, I'm burning on the inside, though.
Yeah.
If that,
are you burning on the inside? Yeah. I'm burning up for your love.
And now that gay marriage is legal, maybe I'll be burning on the backside. you know what I'm saying?
I would urge the people in my church, if you do want to burn yourselves, you can go ahead, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not
gonna do it in an open area where you can't catch other things on fire.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Nor were there any other extinguishers. Listen, people.
Finally, someone found a fire extinguisher.
We're going to end on that. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We want to thank Philippe.
Hey, that's me.
For sitting in with us.
Thank you.
You got anything coming up you want to let people know about?
If you can go back in time and see me with Dave Coulier this weekend.
Get the time machine out.
But I might be at the Draft House Saturday night.
Get the time machine
seeing
out.
Dave
come
Coulier
see the mic.
Do comedy is kind of like going back in time because it kind of takes you back. You know, so people are already doing that.
Way back.
Yeah. Are you being
Let's
squeaky?
See, do
clean?
I have anything?
Are you
I
being
am squeaky.
Squeaky. Are you,
squeaky.
Don't you can't say curse.
Extra squeaky.
Yeah.
No, I don't even say dick.
There you go.
All right. How about cock though?
Say cock though.
I say that.
You say cock.
Yeah. Of course.
Couple
it's,
times.
It's all white people, so they've.
Couple times.
It's not a curse word.
But it's a bit about a chicken.
Yeah. All right, folks. Come on back. We will be here for you guys on Monday. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. As always, we enjoy bringing it to you. Remember, July 16th, we are at Beer Baron in D.C. at 6:30. I don't know the name of the show, Andy.
Specific Ignorance.
Specific Ignorance
it's a game
show.
It's a funny game show.
All three of us will be doing it. We're going to try and podcast and put it up. We're going to try.
Hopefully.
Tim Miller, not me.
Yeah.
Tim is slated to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's on his
As
calendar.
Of now.
Yeah.
As of now.
Right.
And other than that, we will see you guys on Monday. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast.
Like happy 4th.
Happy 4th. Yes. Yeah. Happy 4th of July. Oh, yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Try not to set yourself on fire.
Barbecue. Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Or maybe you should find the fire extinguishers first.
Enjoy yourselves. All right? So we'll see y'all when we see y'all. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Philippe Shaker.
We have three guys on. We are out.
Now, I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. So get the morgue truck and then bomb the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't beat the tray. A no-use number with no-use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Latecomers with the latecomers stretcher. That's a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance. Just to